Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. I have a lot I want to cover tonight. Tonight we begin our journey and look at the book of Ezekiel. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The teacher is the Holy Spirit. So let's test ourselves to see if we're trusting in the Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the Bible. It's a light into our path. It lets us know you, your plan, your provisions. And so, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in one of the ancient writers. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, everyone should have three handouts. You should have Ezekiel and History handout that I'm very thankful to Kip for putting together. I sent him raw material and this is what he does with it. Emphasis on raw. And then you need to have a sheet that has bars on it, bar scales. And then there is the familiar flow of the Bible. In red is every book of the Old Testament is in red on that sheet. Where it is in history. This is a wonderful sheet. When I was in seminary, we had to know every king of the north, every king of the south, what kind of king they were, the prophets, and the dates, and the dates and the enemy. Well, my mind, I have to see it. And I'll never forget the night I put this together, a good buddy of mine named Tim worked at a motel over off of 75 and had a nice big screen TV. Nobody was there late at night. I got over there at 11 o'clock at night and put this together that night while he was sat behind the desk. So let's see, how do I want to begin this? What I want to do is begin with the bar chart. You pull that out. A lot of people do not realize how close all of the names of the Old Testament up to Abraham, how close they are. Abraham and, Adam and Noah are just, Adam died just before Noah came on the scene. That's how close they are. So, Adam lived, and this is what you have on your sheet. Adam lived 900 years, just 70 years short of the number of the millennium. So when we think about the millennium, 1,000 years, it's not that long. The 1,000 years is not that long. Adam lived 930. So, Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve, because Cain killed Abel, so Seth, son of Adam and Eve, lived 912 years, and he's the second one. Oh, by the way, I do not know who made this chart. I didn't do it. I found it in my files. And unfortunately, I didn't put down who made it when I got it. So it's not published for money. It's just for our edification. So Seth is another one, and next one in the line, lived 912 years. He lived with his father Adam for 800 years. So, my point here is, in the millennium, you better tell your friends that you'll now come. We won't be in human body. We'll be in a resurrected body. But people on earth will be in a human body. You want to just tell friends, be careful. You're having a kid, because they're going to be around for 900 years. So, just warn them. Now, with the next one, Ennis, and he gives the dates, passages of scripture. They're all on here. It's a phenomenal work done on this chart. Ennis lived 912 years. He lived with his grandfather, Adam, close to 700 years. Then you come down to Canaan. Lived 910 years. He lived with his great-grandfather, Adam, for some 600 years. Now again, why do I emphasize the years they overlap with Adam? Passing on a scripture. It isn't like there was years of absence to be confused and lost and all of that. No, they had it daily given to them. And then you come down after Canaan, you have Mahalaleel. He died young. He only lived 895 years. So he had to die young. He lived 500 years with his great-great-grandfather, Adam. Oh. Then you come down to the next one. Jared lived 962 years. He lived some 470 years with Adam. I just added a funny comment. Thank goodness there were no Christmas parties. Adam would have gone broke with all these grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and on. So they didn't have any Christmas parties. Christ hadn't come. And then you go down to Enoch, coming to Jared, and then Jared, or then after Jared, you come to Enoch. Now, Enoch only lived 365 years, but a teenager. He's a teenager. Now, Enoch did not die. You might know the story. Enoch was simply taken home by the Lord. One of the important phrases in the scriptures, he walked with God and was transported into heaven without dying. Immortality was taught in the first dispensation. Now we come after Enoch to the well-known Methuselah, who lived a whopping 969 years. Almost a period of a millennium. And yes, you will notice he overlapped with Adam. He lived 343 years with Adam. They talked. He will be the great-grandfather of Noah and the flood. So there's Methuselah. And then after Methuselah, you've got Lamech. Lamech lived 777 years, related to Adam, same time as Adam, some 183 years. He's the father of Noah. Then we come to Noah. Noah lived 950 years. Adam died some 26 years before Noah. But I just want you to see, the reason I had this out, now, close. Can we turn this up and I can talk lower? Okay, I'll just talk lower. All right. So Noah lived 950 years and Adam died some 26 years before Noah came on the scene. Now, the chart on the bottom covers from Noah to Abraham. From Noah to Abraham, and you can look at that and study it the same way we studied the top half. Just go through, scriptures are given, and you get a familiarity of from Adam to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on one chart. Simple chart, so that you can see how they all overlap and how close they are together. Now, that brings us to the second chart, this one, the multi-chart with all the Bible books of the Bible. So let's take a look at it. Now, as I said, every book of the Old Testament is on here. It's in red. As you read, you go further out, you go with the dates, and then the enemies of the various kings and things. So, start with creation, Adam, the fall, the flood, Noah, his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Tower of Babel, nations, to the birth of Israel, and around 2200 B.C., birth of Abraham, around 2160. These are the conservative dates. Abraham enters the land around 2086. Birth of Isaac, 2060. Birth of Jacob, 2000. Jacob enters Egypt, 1870. 1440, the Exodus out of Egypt, under Moses' guidance. 1400, Joshua enters the land. 1370, the death of Joshua, and beginning of the period of the judges. Now, if you look here, we've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books written by Moses. Approximate date of Moses. Then you got Joshua, and I give you some dates for Joshua, for writing that book. Period of the Judges, 1370 to 1075. Ruth, in that time frame, 1100. Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1080 to 1017. Then after Samuel comes David on the scene. So you got Psalms and Proverbs, Solomon, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Go back to the left. We've got end of the Judges around 1050. Saul is king, 1051. David is king, 1011. Solomon is king, 971. 960. Solomon builds a temple 480 years after the Exodus. 931, the kingdom is split. Now, there's a little chart up to the left up there. I had to have something up there. I couldn't leave any space on just empty. So what I did, I put here, the last 7 years of Israel promised 490 years. Daniel's 70th week, not for 490 years. Babylon in captivity, 586. 516 returns and the temple rebuilt. Start the counting, 444 to rebuild the walls. Down to 33, approximately 33 AD, the interruption, 483 years. 7 years are remained. 7 years are the 7 years in Daniel's 70th week. That's the tribulation. There's a little chart. Give you that. Now, the next section, you have the kings of the north, Israel, southern kingdom, Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, is covered in 1st and 2nd Kings. So if you ever want to know quickly what 1st and 2nd Kings is about, it covers the period of the kings of the northern kingdom. Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, covers the southern kingdom, the southern kings. You have dates, the name of the king, and then you have a little code. All right, for an example, under Jeroboam, 931 to 910, first king, sinful, evil, idolatrous. The code is given to you at the bottom. You got E, shows you on the bottom is evil. I is idolatry. So, what I had to do, I had to come up with some quick way of remembering what this basic understanding of the kings. So, king was idolatrous, just put an I for idolatry. And that's what that tells you. Then you go over of the southern kingdom, Rehoboam, evil. Got E, evil. You look down, if you don't know, remember what it was? E is evil. Now, you have R, reform, A, apostasy, B, Baal worship, and so forth. Then as you go out, what stood on the southern kingdom, you got the name of the king, the dates, name of the king, something about the king, and then the enemies of that king. Egypt invades, 926. Then under Asa, you have reform. He's a reform. In fact, scripture says he took after his father David. And with him, you have a partial reform from Edom, Syria, Philistines, Arabia. Then you have Jehoshaphat, reform. Great army, truth. Then you have Jeroboam, but he is Baal worship. Therefore, Obadiah came at this time. Read on down. Then you have Jehoash. You have reform and idolatry. That brings on Joel. Go on down, Micah. Isaiah. Nahum. Zephaniah. You want to know about Zephaniah? Talk to Kip. He'll tell you about Zephaniah. Jeremiah. Lamentations. Habakkuk. Now, on the northern side, we have Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. Only three prophets sent to the northern kingdom. Now, we come down to 626. The northern kingdom's taken out in 722. Then, Nebuchadnezzar becomes king of Babylon. And just read on down. Now, what's interesting, here we have Daniel. 605 to 536, taken to Babylon in 605. Nebuchadnezzar returns and takes 10,000 to Babylon. Ezekiel is taken. In a moment I'll show you, Ezekiel and Daniel are approximately the same age. They're both contemporaries of Jeremiah. But I put them over here because, unlike Jeremiah, they're taken into Babylon. So that's why they're over here with wherever they are. Now, there's a little square where it says return from Babylon. 100 years, 536 to 432. And here we have the prophet Haggai, the prophet Zechariah, Esther, this is where she fits into history, Ezra, Nehemiah. We open our Bibles and they're right at the beginning. But in history, they're way down near the end. As you can see, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, all in the period after they returned from captivity. Over on the right, I got a little square. Seven nations of the seven-headed dragon. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, Greece, Rome 1, that's the Rome at the time of Jesus Christ, and then Rome 2, that's the time of the tribulation. Then you keep going on down in the middle, 536, start the return under Cyrus. Cyrus dies. Just keep on going down. 516. Rebuild the temple. End of the 70 years captivity. Keep on going down. 396. Jerusalem completed. 333. Alexander the Great. 323. Alexander the Great dies and his kingdom is divided. Keep going down. Then you have, in 164, the Jews won, the temple is purified. Then 63, Pompey comes to put Jerusalem under Roman rule. and 3 or 4 B.C., the birth of Jesus Christ, 40 or 33 A.D. or on, the cross, 33, somewhere in that time frame, the church age begins, temple of Jerusalem is destroyed in 70 A.D., canon is completed around 99 A.D. On the left, a little, again, I couldn't let the space just go, so I fill this in with the line of Christ, tribe of Judah, David and Bathsheba, David, Solomon, Bathsheba, Nathan, Zerubbabel, and then down through Solomon, you come down and got Joseph, down through Nathan, Mary. So there's a quick look at the whole Old Testament right there for you. Alright, now, let's go to that big, the longer one that you have. Ezekiel in history. What I wanted to do now is concentrate, get your mind geared to Ezekiel. Now you know from this chart, he's going to come at the time of the Babylonian captivity. You know that he's a contemporary of Daniel, about the same age as Daniel. He's taken to Babylon. So they're about the same time frame. So let's take a look at the history of Ezekiel. There are four empires to bear in mind. Judah, southern kingdom. Nineveh destroys the northern kingdom and tries to get Babylon in trouble. Babylon and Egypt. 760. Now the dates, I do not argue dates. You will get some people saying 763 or 64. 756, things like that. Conservative dating. Some of them I just rounded off for memory's sake. So this just helps us to remember. 760 B.C., our history of Ezekiel begins with Jonah. Now, if you're an astute student, you go to this sheet. Jonah. Well, wait a minute, when did Jonah come on the scene? Oh, Jonah is back in 578. To 775 in Nineveh. All right, actually, Jonah is in 782 to 753. So that kind of orients me to where we are in history of the Northern Kingdom. All right, now, go to the great enemy of Israel, Nineveh, capital of Assyria, the Assyrian Empire. When Judah was called when Jonah was called, Assyria had existed as an empire for some 1,900 years. When they, think about this, America's just over 200. We're not even going to get involved. We couldn't even hold it on for 300. We're already out of it morally, spiritually. Okay. When they will be destroyed, they will have been an empire for 2,000 years. The United States, some 200 plus years. Nineveh was built across the Tigris River. Flow of natural water. The walls, by the way, the Tigris-Euphrates River is going to be very important during the 7 years of tribulation. One-third of the population is said to be destroyed along that river. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm putting this forward for your thoughts. What's going to happen to the Muslims? Islam. There are so many on earth. Where are they during the 7 years of tribulation? If in the seals, when one-third of the population is taken out, and you study that it is along the Euphrates River, which is all Muslim people and nations, that may be what happens to the Muslims in one quick seal judgment. Okay, surrounded by a moat, we're talking about Nineveh, surrounded by a moat that was 200 feet wide, over 66 yards, and 60 feet deep, or some 20 yards. Gives you an ideal remote. Now, people have asked, what could be better than a wall between America and Mexico? I suggest a moat. A moat would be very good. 66 yards wide and 60 feet deep with alligators. There you go. Now, it could withstand a siege for 20 years. In other words, by that I mean the enemy could be outside the wall for 20 years. They had enough to live on for 20 years inside that city. Okay? Considered impregnable. Jonah 1, 1 and 2. Well, let's take out our Bibles. I didn't put that in there just for fun. So let's take out our Bibles and let's do a little, have a little fun in the Bible. Jonah, and let's look at Jonah, and we're going to look at chapter 1. It's Kid will have it on the board before I turn to it, but that's okay. That's the way Kid is. Alright. Let's see. Jonah chapter 1. I should have had this printed out on my paper. Alright. Jonah chapter 1, and let's read 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So, this is what's going to happen to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to go there, as you know the story. But in 760, the city of Nineveh turned to Jehovah of Israel. So, this is what happened. Jonah goes through, and to his shock, they responded. They responded. The great heathen city of Nineveh responded to the gospel and believed in the coming Jewish Messiah. In 760. 750, God was moving among the five tribes of the Chaldeans. Abraham was from this area around 2000 BC. The first one to pull together the Chaldeans is mentioned in the Bible. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 20. Now, if you remember, on this big chart, Kings deals primarily with the history of the Northern Kingdom. Chronicles of the Southern Kingdom. So let's look at, we're going to look at 2 Kings 20, verse 12. At that time, Berodach Baladan, a son of Beladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. So, here he is in Babylon, and he is going to be the first one to pull all the people around Babylon together. All the tribes of the Chaldeans. Let's turn to Isaiah 39. To get the full picture of all these things, you go through all of these people. Now, see, this is why I love this chart. Because you can go, well, wait, why are we turning to Isaiah? Well, wait a minute. Isaiah's right in the same time frame. So, obviously, we would look at Isaiah. Isaiah 39, verse 1. at that time, Merodach Baalam, same one that we just studied, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. So, this gives you what's going on politically. Kings of Babylon know all about what's going on in Israel. There's close connection going on at this time between these two countries. Now, he captured Babylon in 750 B.C. from the Assyrians. Babylon was a growing city at this time. The Assyrians regained control of the city of Babylon. So, Assyria wants to exert its power, came down, captured Babylon. The king of Babylon overtook them, but they regained. Now, let's jump down to 722. Remember, in the Old Testament, we go backwards. 722, destruction of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians. 722, the Assyrians came down and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. All 10 tribes of Israel, they're not lost. God knew right where they were, and he knows right where they are. 701, the Assyrians attacked the southern kingdom of Judah. And had it not been for the ministry of Isaiah, they would have destroyed Jerusalem. This gives you an idea of what's going on. 660. So, we can be warned of just how brief a revival can last. In 660, Nahum, the prophet of the southern kingdom, prophesied of the fall of Nineveh just 100 years after its great revival under Jonah. It lasted specifically just one generation. So, either one, they didn't pass on the importance of believing in the coming Messiah to their children. That's why Moses said, you teach your children in the morning, in the afternoon, when you're walking, when you're playing, when you're working, you teach your children all the time. Don't ever let it get off their mind. And apparently they didn't do that in Nineveh. So the revival lasted one generation, i.e. America. We haven't done it with our generation. We have not instilled in our children the Constitution, the orientation of the Bible, morning, noon, and night. We haven't done it. Churches don't do it anymore today. So, we are where we are. It may be three generations. America's gone down. You've got to keep passing it on. This is a very important lesson in this kind of a survey of history. Now, what I want to do now is look at Nahum. Let's look at the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Just to get an idea of where we are in all these things. Okay, Nahum chapter 1, and let's read first of all, verses 1 through 5. The Oracle of Nineveh, the book of the wisdom of the vision of Nahum. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. This isn't taught today very much. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Plural. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind, which is a good study, and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan, Carmel, wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Look at Nahum chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, now they're fleeing. Stop! Stop! But no one turns back. Plunder the silver. Plunder the gold of Nineveh. For there is no limit to the treasure. Wealth from every kind of desirable object, idolatrous objects, worship objects, household objects, political objects, everything. She is emptied. Yes, she is desolate and waste. Hearts are melting and knees shocking. Also, anguish is in the whole body, and all their faces are grown pale. Now, here is where this sheet does you good. Look at this sheet. And note where Nahum prophesied. Note where Nahum is on the chart. And if you notice where Nahum is, he's long before this is going to happen. People did not believe what he said would happen to Assyria. They did not believe it. There's no way that great fortress is going to be taken like you're saying, Nahum. It is not going to happen. So if you study the book of Nahum, they will not believe the prophecy of Nahum. Let's go to Nahum chapter 3 and read just verses 4 and 5. All because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries, and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness. So, this happened in Nahum's time, prophesied by Nahum of Nineveh. These are some of the same things that's prophesied in the tribulational period of what God is going to do. We've got to understand the God of wrath. Sunday morning, I'm to give a challenge to the graduates. I'm going to warn them of the wrath of God. They've got to know God is love, but God is wrath. I want them to know that. So, this is what we have going on. When Nahum, continuing now, when Nahum prophesied the fall of Nineveh, the city was at the height of her power. And here is Nahum, a nobody, prophesying its utter destruction. To the people, this was impossible. The United States of America is at the height of its power. And yet, it has no place in the tribulation. How could this be? People are saying this cannot be. Yes, it can, very easily. That's why I wanted you to see what happens to Nineveh. God now moves to the fulfillment of his prophecy. 626, God raised up a genius named Nebuchadnezzar, who was able to unite the five tribes of the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar became king of the new Babylonian Empire, which had extended back 1,000 years before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar will rule from 625 to 605, 20 years. This is a very important 20 years. 625, he conquered the city of Babylon from the Assyrians. The Assyrians attempted to regain Babylon, but failed to do so. Nebuchadnezzar had a son named Nebuchadnezzar, who is considered one of the greatest geniuses in all world history. That is from the Cambridge Ancient History. If you read Cambridge Ancient History, you'll get all of these people I've just talked about in a wonderful writing. It's well worth it if you can get on the internet or go to the library and read. That was one of the first big sets that I bought. I bought Calvin Delitzsch and Cambridge Ancient History, and I've enjoyed and thankful I did. So, this is from Cambridge Ancient History. He had Nebuchadnezzar, considered one of the greatest generals in all world history. Now, 620, while all these things are going on and occurring in Babylon, Daniel and Ezekiel, both probably born about this time in Judah, about this time. 614, Nebuchadnezzar made an alliance with the Medes and the Scythians and attacked Nineveh. All of this is in Cambridge Ancient History and the Bible. 612, Assyrians went into their walls and left. Now think, what did I tell you? They could close down themselves for 20 years in that wall. Now, so in 612, the Assyrians went into their walls and laughed at this army laying siege to Nineveh. In the book of Nahum, he tells how Nineveh will be destroyed. So let's look at Nahum chapter 1, verse 8. You put it on the board for him. Nahum chapter 1, verse 8. Let's take a look how this is going to happen. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of its sight and will pursue his enemies into darkness. So, all that walls, all that they had done, will be taken out immediately by God sending a flood. Secular history, Cambridge Ancient History, tells us how this happened. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar and the forces they had gathered besieged the city of Nineveh, but had no real plans for taking it, but only containing it. Then God sent an unbelievable rain that caused the Tigris River to overflow, and it washed away a big portion of the wall. And led by Nebuchadnezzar, the attacking force made their way through this portion of the city and utterly destroyed the great city of Nineveh, taking all the gold, all the silver out of it. Nahum chapter 3, verse 11. You too will become drunk. You will be hidden. You will be searched. You will search for a refuge from the enemy, but not find one. After the battle in 612 BC, the city was completely lost until AD 1842. AD, our time in history. AD, when archaeologists stumbled on the ancient site that some 2,500 years later was the city even found. And by the way, they said the Bible isn't right in history because there is no city of Nineveh. All of a sudden, we found it. This happens a lot with archaeology. A lot is, the Bible's not right. And then all of a sudden, maybe there is. So this is what happened. Hidden from what? Hidden from history, as God prophesied. There are no Assyrians left today, but there are Jews. There are no Babylonians, but there are Jews. There are no Chaldeans, but there are still Jews. Since the time of the Exodus, Satan has tried to destroy the Jewish race. Egypt, Hitler, is just one helper of Satan who tried to do it. Now, Iran has just hired a new general. He said, I will destroy all Jews. I'll be talking about him maybe Sunday. Even today, Egypt, Iraq, and Iran have declared they will exterminate the Jews. The Jews are still here. Alright, let's go to 612 BC. Nineveh is overthrown by the Babylonians and the Medes, which terminates the Assyrian Empire and brings Babylon into prominence as they sought to make conquest of all the Assyrian Empire had been completely overthrown by 610 BC. So the Babylonian Empire is now all of what the Assyrian Empire was. 608, Pharaoh Nechal of Egypt defeated Josiah. Remember what I tell you at the very beginning. Judah, Egypt, Nineveh, Babylon. All three are part of the flowing history as to Ezekiel. So in 608, Pharaoh of Egypt defeated Josiah, king of the southern kingdom of Judah, in the battle of Megiddo. Whoop, 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 whoop. Armageddon. And demanded that Judah join his forces. At the same time, he defeated Babylonians at the first battle of Carchemish on the Euphrates River. At this time, Jehoiakim was put on the throne of Judah in place of Jehoahaz. So if you study these kings, you want to have this chart available and know how these kings got into office. They were appointed by the enemy, by Egypt. Now, 606, 605. Nebuchadnezzar was pursuing Pharaoh Nechal. The Babylonians defeated Pharaoh at the second battle of Carchemish. As Nebuchadnezzar traveled northward, Carchemish in 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, the great army general of history, Nebuchadnezzar, the great army, the greatest general in army history, traveled through Jerusalem the first time. But in 605, after defeating Pharaoh Nechal at the second battle of Carchemish, Nebuchadnezzar heard that his father, Nebuchadnezzar heard that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had died. Nebuchadnezzar returned from Carchemish to Babylon to ascend his father's throne in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar will rule the Babylonian Empire from 605 to 562. As he traveled through Jerusalem, again, he remembered something that was written in the history of the Chaldeans about 150 years ago, that one of his ancestors, his great-grandfather, had visited Jerusalem at the time of King Hezekiah, during the time of prophet Isaiah, that Hezekiah had asked his God for more years to his life and was granted 15 more years. But it had been better had he not had those extra years, for he did not use them for the Lord. King Hezekiah showed Nebuchadnezzar's ancestor all the treasures of Judah kept in the temple. Look at Isaiah chapter 39. Let's go back to Isaiah 39. Isaiah warned against this. But just as they do not listen to the people today, they do not listen to it back then. Isaiah 39. It's embarrassing that he can get it on there before I can. Alright, Isaiah 39. Let's get a reading from Isaiah on what we're looking at. Verse 1. At that time, Merodach Balaam, son of Balagan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased. Well, what he was flattered, arrogance. And showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and his spices and the precious oil and his whole armory and all that was found in his treasury. There was nothing in his house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah did not show him. Then Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where have they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They come to me from a far country called Babylon." He said, "What have they sent in your house, seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord." Uh-oh, that's not going to be good. "Of hosts, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, all that is in your fathers, have laid up in store in this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons, Daniel and Hezekiah, who will issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away. And they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "For there will be peace in truth and truth in my day. I don't care about the country." See, and that's our present-day Democrats. They don't care. They don't care what will happen tomorrow. Just in their day. And that, here's a perfect picture of this thing that's going on. Alright, this is prophesied in 701 B.C. So, Nebuchadnezzar knew that Jerusalem contained great wealth. So he went into Jerusalem, besieged the city, 606 to 605, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, some 100 years before these events took place. The exactness of various prophecies in the Bible have caused many to challenge the dates they were written, because they do not believe that God is in control of history, especially to the point of such exact prophecies. This was the first invasion of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. In other words, the Lord's prophecy came to truth. In the first invasion, Nebuchadnezzar was kind to Jerusalem. While he did take its treasury back to Jerusalem, to Babylon, he left King Jehoiakim, 609 to 598, on the throne, subject to Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar took a large part of the wealth of Jerusalem, and he also took members of the royal family back to Babylon. Three invasions of Jerusalem of the southern kingdom by Babylon. 605, first invasion, but Nebuchadnezzar was kind to Jerusalem. Daniel was taken to Babylon at this time. 598, second invasion, but this time Nebuchadnezzar did not destroy Jerusalem, but he did take 20,000 more. Ezekiel was taken to Babylon. 586, third and final invasion. This time, Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city for 18 months. And Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, the walls were protecting. The walls. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city, the temple, and the walls. The land became desolate. King Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, rebelled against the word of God, made an alliance with Egypt, which God told him not to do. This was against the warning of both Jeremiah, who prophesied 27-580, and Ezekiel 592-570. 606. It was at this time that Daniel and his three friends were brought from Jerusalem to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, along with other hostages from the royal family of Jerusalem. Daniel was about 17 years old. Some say 14, some say 20, so I just say 17. And Ezekiel about 17. We do not hear about others who were brought captives, except for Ezekiel. Why not? They did not continue to trust the Lord. Up against great intimidation, they turned from the Lord. But Daniel and his three friends and Ezekiel continue to trust the Lord, and all five will be used of the Lord in a mighty historical way. Daniel continued to be a top advisor from 602-603 all the way through the remainder of the Babylonian Empire, up into the Medo-Persian Empire, took over, and he will become a top advisor in that period of history. From 603-530, Daniel will be a top advisor. Ezekiel will write one of the most profound prophecies of the tribulation, second advent of the Messiah. There will be no book of Daniel or Ezekiel. They had not remained faithful. No other book other than Daniel and Ezekiel. They had remained faithful to God, to all that knew God. 603-597. Archaeologists had discovered so many tablets describing how Nebuchadnezzar was consolidating his empire, enriching his capital city of Babylon, building temples, building Babylon, bringing Babylon into world prominence. 606 first invasion, 598 second invasion. This was a violent siege of Jerusalem. 2 Kings 24-25 tells the events before this invasion and during the invasion itself, fulfilling history, the prophecy. 2 Chronicles 35-36, Nebuchadnezzar returns to Jerusalem to put down the revolt of the southern kingdom. The revolt against the Babylonians, they're taken out. The reason they will fall in 70 AD, they will revolt against Rome. It will be destroyed then. They will revolt against Rome during the tribulation. Christ comes and saves them. King Jehoiakim died during the siege. One of his sons, Jehoiakim, was put in charge, but he lasted only about 100 days before the siege ended. Jehoiakim and all his family taken captive into Babylon. This is when Ezekiel was taken into Babylon, when he was about 25 years old, after the period of Daniel. So I changed that to about 20. Ezekiel and Daniel, about the same age. At this time, Zedekiah was appointed to succeed as king of Judah. 2 Kings 24:17. He will be the last king of the southern kingdom. But Nebuchadnezzar again did not destroy Jerusalem. There was still something left. There were walls and a temple. And some of the people there could worship Jehovah. Jeremiah continued to warn the people, but a group of false prophets, listen, began to multiply in Jerusalem. I will warn the graduates this Sunday, don't be deceived. And the people much preferred the message of the false prophets over that of Jeremiah. The false prophets told the people lies, that God was not going to destroy them, and so the people refused to listen to Jeremiah. Much like the politicians and news media voices today declare that America is doing fine and will recover and be mighty again, even though we do not listen to the word of God saying there is no God and we will be great, even though we are vastly immoral, anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ, anti the word of God, and I should have added anti-Semitic. There was also another prophet at this time, Ezekiel, who was about the same age as Daniel, Ezekiel began to warn them as to what was going to happen if they did not return to Jehovah. He gave the same basic message as Jeremiah, except when we get to Ezekiel, Ezekiel will close with reasons for hope. But the people of the king will listen to the false prophets, and they rebelled again and again. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon went to Egypt for help and not to Jehovah. They went to Egypt for help and not to Jehovah. Turning to Egypt instead of Yahweh is all through the Old Testament, putting their trust in man rather than the Lord. 588, the Babylonian army continues to control and subjugate the Lebanon and northern Palestine. 586, January the 3rd, and final invasion, 2 Kings 5:21, you can read it. Babylonian army came down to Jerusalem. The siege of Jerusalem lasted some 18 months. Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, as was prophesied. Under severe drought, the Jews inside the walls of Jerusalem resorted to cannibalism, prophesied by Jeremiah, Nehemiah, and others. Babylon deported and great majority of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and destroyed the city, the temple, and the walls. The land became desolate. They took all the sacred instruments used in the temple, carried them back to Babylon. Tens of thousands of Jews were destroyed because they would not listen to the word of God. Think about this. When their capital was destroyed, their people either killed are taken into slavery, yet the Jews remain today, in fact, are back into the land. God controls history. Jews are back in the land today in the 21st century. AD. Jeremiah prophesied taking of Jerusalem and Babylonian, and it gives the reference. Listen, even in time of national disaster, time of disaster, many of those who will listen to the word of the Lord will be spared. What you will read in those scriptures, they were told to go out and to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Those who did that, taken safely into Babylon and survived. By Ezekiel, this is all because of Ezekiel, this spirit of Daniel is in the place of prominence. The golden pure image of Daniel chapter 3 seems to have been set up as a time conquest of Jerusalem, same time as the conquest of Jerusalem in 598 B.C. Let's quickly go through this. Jerusalem, Jeremiah and Ezekiel told them how to survive, get out and surrender, and those who stayed in the city would be killed violently. The false prophets told them this would not happen, and they listened to the false prophets. Those who went out and surrendered survived. Those who stayed in the city were destroyed. 586, after the fall of Jerusalem, Babylonian army removed the northward to subdue Tyre and subdue the siege from that period. After the fall of Tyre, by the way, Tyre is in the prophecy likened unto Satan, meant the Babylonian controlled the territory from the Tigris and Euphrates all through Assyria to the Mediterranean Sea, Tyre, Lebanon, and Palestine, from the Euphrates all the way across. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered and occupied the land that was originally given by covenant to Abraham. 562, Nebuchadnezzar died, succeeded by his son, Evil-Merodach, which means servant of Merodach, one of the idolatrous gods, recorded in Jeremiah 52:31. 549, at this time, there were two men competing for power in Babylon, Nabonidus and Belshazzar, who was in charge. Babylonian military. This explains why Daniel 5 is said to be the third in charge. Daniel was the third in charge. These two people fighting for it, and then Daniel. 539, Babylon was captured by Cyrus of the Persian Empire. 536, first year of the rule of Cyrus, he will issue the proclamation for the return of the Jews to Palestine. They were in captivity for 70 years. 533, third year of Cyrus' reign, we have Daniel's last vision, Daniel 10:1. 530, Cyrus dies. 396, Jerusalem completed. Next week, we'll be ready to get involved in the book of Ezekiel. Any quick question? Yes. Yeah. Yes. In that time frame. Yeah. If that's the guy that died. Absolutely. Okay. Let's close for a word of prayer. And with a word of prayer. And next Wednesday night, we'll write into Ezekiel. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. We fall on our knees. We bow to the sovereign God. How could we doubt anything that you say? You've prophesied when empires will fall, and they fall. You prophesied names. You prophesied what's going to happen. It happens. We know all the prophecies related to the Messiah, but just prophecies related to history. What manner of God you are. Father, we have no fear of man. We have no fear of what man will do to America. In the Middle East, we've read your word. We've read your prophecies. We trust you. We know you will bring these things to pass. You're our hope. You're our confidence. You're our peace. You're our assurance. Why should we worry about a day? Why should we worry about anything? Sickness, illnesses, death. When you've given us such promises, relate to eternity. Thank you so much for your word, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for revealing yourself, that we can know you, trust you, have rapport with you, have an intimate relationship with you and with your Son. That's just profound. Father, pray your Spirit could use the things we went over quickly today, tonight. Use it to the honor and glory of Christ, giving anyone who hears this message a peace in their soul about the future of the world, the future of Israel, the future of Jerusalem. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.